Let's stand as we change over the service this evening. Amen. I want to hear the word. Amen. Amen. Lord, Brother Lewis, as he comes this evening. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. You are holy, holy, holy. See you.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Happy to be in the house of God.
Amen.
I greet you in the name of the Lord, and I'm glad that you were able to trek through and made it through the rain.
Amen. Yeah.
And we're getting ready to come, leave the house, and Brother Joe, I saw a text message from Brother Joe. There was an accident on 995. He said possibly there could have been a fatality there. So remember that family or whoever was in that accident. But so we had to take a different route, get on 85, get on exit 40, come down, pass by your house, by the way, and to get here, so to avoid that. But we thank God for bringing us again on this Wednesday night. So we're going to go ahead and just go to the Lord in prayer, and let's just bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity that we have, Lord, to meditate upon your word, Lord. Father God, we don't want to take that lightly, Lord Jesus, because it's your word, Father. And that same word, Lord, created, Father God, the heavens and the earth, Lord Jesus. That same word, Heavenly Father, creates the animals, Lord, that we see all around us. And that same creative word, Father, is creating and shaping us, Father, in this hour, Lord. Father God, through your Holy Spirit, and we just thank you for that. We ask you, Lord, that you would just have your way here tonight, Lord. Forgive us for all of our sins and iniquities. Cleanse us, Lord. If there's anything, Father, that we may have done or said or even thought about, Lord, that was contrary to your word, Lord, we pray, Father, that it be placed under the blood, Lord, that it would not hinder us from receiving, Father, from your word. And let us, Father, lay aside all the weights and the sins that would so easily beset us, Lord. And help us, Father God, to be able to run this race with patience. Yes. Grant it, Lord Jesus, meet every need amongst us, Father, and bless those that might be still on their way. We commit this time into your hands. I yield my members to you, Lord. Have your way here this evening in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I know I wanted to continue on this thought, on think on these things. This is part 3 of think on these things. And I just want to say beforehand, before we read, I may touch on a subject tonight that it might be a little, might be a little bit uncomfortable to touch. But I think it's needful to be touched upon. And so you just pray for us and just let the Lord have his way. Yeah. Amen. And that we would just say things, you know, that it would uplift us and it would help us. Amen. Because when I think about this topic, I'm mostly thinking about our young people and of course it affects us all. But I think about our young people a lot because they are constantly bombarded with thoughts. Even more now than ever, than we have ever faced. Because let me tell you, us older ones, you know, we had one line of thinking. Only one source was maybe bombarding us. But now they have multiple sources bombarding them from every angle. From every angle. And so now it's a whole soup of different things that they have to deal with that we didn't have to deal with when we were growing up. So I think it's important to touch upon these things. So in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, we'll read the scripture and then you may be seated. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." And that is a commandment. Rejoice. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." Now, that doesn't mean, you know, don't take care of yourself or don't be careful. It means don't worry. Be careful. Don't worry about anything. "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Amen. God, remember what we were just talking about the other day? God wants you to approach him with your requests. Amen. He wants you to approach the throne with boldness, right? "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts, watch, and minds through Christ Jesus." And then he says, continues to say, and this is, I love this scripture, verse 8, "Finally, brethren," he's talking to brothers now, right? Brothers and sisters, "whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest." How many like to hear truth? How many like to have people tell you false things? I'm the only one raising my hand. How many like it when people are honest with you? Right? Well, this is what Paul's telling us, that whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. How many love pure things? Whatsoever things are lovely. I love lovely things. Sure, you do too. Whatsoever things are of good report. In other words, whatsoever things have a good testimony, right? If there be any virtue, if anything has virtue, or if there is anything that is worthy of praise, think on these things. All right? And that's a commandment from Paul. He says, think on these things. These things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You may be seated this afternoon. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. As I said before, you know, this scripture has helped me out in the last 2-3 years. You know, I've really tried to put my concentration on this scripture more than I have in the past, because I think it's needful. Amen. I think in the last 2-3 years, we've been bombarded with all kinds of information from left and right. All kinds of propaganda from left and right, and all kinds of things that have come to manipulate the behaviors of people. People are not acting the way they acted 3 years ago. People are walking now in fear. People are now walking in leery of one another now. You know. And what's this guy? You know what? You know. And worse than that, you were put behind masks and things like that, which makes you look like, you know, you're even more leery. You look like a criminal. Well, criminals are the ones that wear masks because they don't want to be seen. You know, they don't want to be seen. The fruits of darkness that they're in. So that is the society that we live in now in this day. But you see, as Christians and as the people of God, we have been freed. Amen? Amen. We are free people. We are free by the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many can say you've been free by the Holy Spirit? The Word frees you in this hour. Amen. And the word frees your thinking in this hour. You don't have to think like the world. Amen. You don't have to think what they're trying to feed you. You don't have to think that way. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen, you can think the thoughts of God. And the thoughts of God are holy, pure, amen, true, and just, and righteous, and will cause you to behave certain ways. You know, you walk down the street or you're driving down the road and you see the people, right? And the way they talk, the way they walk, the way they look, it tells you what information or what things they think about. And what Jesus said himself, whatsoever you think, amen, whatever is in a man's heart, that is what's going to come out of the man, of the person, you see? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now in Romans chapter 12, we read this as well, and I'm just kind of reviewing a little bit, and then we'll get to the part 3 here. And he says in Romans chapter 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now he says, for you to do it. He doesn't say that God will present your bodies. No, he wants you to do it yourself. So there's something for you to do in this hour. There's a dying out for you to do in this hour. That's the reason why Brother Wade and Brother Dale, they've been preaching for years in regards to the stature of a perfect man. Amen. Amen. That's for you to die out to this flesh, to this spirit man. Amen. Praise God. Because these things aren't born again. Your soul is born again. Praise the Lord. Your soul is sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are, your soul is redeamed. Amen. But this body, you still have to work on it. Right? Amen. How many can say that every thought that you've had this week until now has been good thoughts? Nobody can.
Amen.
Therefore, that means that you still have to work on yourself.
Amen.
All right? I can't say the same thing either. Right? We all still working, and that's the reason why we are still feeding on this word that's helping us. Now, I want you to keep in mind that you can understand the stature of a perfect man intellectually, but if you don't let those attributes or those things come out, amen, then it's not anything. It's just knowledge. And knowledge puffeth up. But we want to see knowledge being performed. We want to see knowledge, amen, pass from just being knowledge and thoughts to doing. Amen. We want to be not just hearers of the word, but we want to be doers of the word. Praise God. When God speaks his word, amen, it's a thought expressed. And it has, amen, it has, those are capsules or containers, right? Of his word. And those things go out and they got a mission. They're going to do something. They're going to cause some sort of change. They're going to create something. God doesn't speak anything just to speak it. He did not create anything that you see created just because it's been created. Oh, they say, oh, you don't need your appendix. God created it. It's there for a reason. Or whatever that part is. Is it the appendix? It's there for a reason. God has a purpose for everything that he does. Amen. Praise God. So Paul says here, he wants you to present your body as a living sacrifice. You present it. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
And he says here in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't be molded into this world. You see, we come into this world and this world has a mold. A different, you know how, for example, on an ice tray, right? Those are molds where you can place water. And the water, when you put it in the freezer, it freezes up and it forms into whatever the water was in that shape. And so when you take out the ice, if it's supposed to be round ice, you don't expect it to come out in squares or in cubes, right? You expect it to come out round because it got molded to what it was. And so that's what Paul is trying to say. Don't mold yourself or don't conform yourself to this world. You see, the world has all kinds of molds. You can look and act and talk like any, you just pick. You want to look like a rock star? They got it. You want to look like somebody, you know, them anime characters and all that kind of stuff, them Koreans? You know, with all the different attire that they wear, you can look just like one. You wanna look like a hip hop rapper? You certainly can look like one. They're all molds, but amen. The Christian wants to look like Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is the mold that we want to look like. Amen. Praise God. But you have a choice. You can pick whatever mold you and look just like that. But he says here, but be ye transformed. So instead of looking, conforming yourself to the world, instead be ye transformed by the renewing of what?
Amen.
He didn't say by the renewing of your soul. He didn't say by the renewing of anything else. He said by the renewing of your mind. Because your soul is born again. But your body and your spirit is not. Therefore, that's the part that you need to work on. That's the part that you still need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's interesting that Paul uses that word transformed. How many have seen, when I was younger in the 1980s, I watched the cartoon called The Transformers. Brother Joe knows about it. Brother Aaron, all of them. And then later on in the 2000s, they made movies with them. And so the Transformers, they were these robots that supposedly, you know, they were to be, they walked like humans and they talked. They had robotic voices, but they talked.
Yeah, right.
And But then all of a sudden, when it was time for them to get into war or a battle or something, they'd form and transform into a car, a helicopter, or a plane. Completely different from the original form that they were. Amen? And that's what Paul is trying to tell us here. Amen? He's trying to tell us, amen, that you don't need to be the way you came to this earth. Amen. You can be transformed. You can be different. By what? By the renewing of your mind. Praise God. So how many believe that we need mind renewal? Amen. We all need it. I need it. Because you just told me that you all, not all your thoughts were pure thoughts this week. Therefore, we all need that mind renewal. All right. I like the way the New Living Version says. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Yeah, it says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You see, the only way that you will change is by changing the way you think about things. Right? If you see God in a certain way, or if you think about God in a certain way, that's the way you're going to head. If you're very loose in your life about serving God, that's the way you're going to act. But if you're very tight, you know, some of us can be overly tight, right? Then that's how you're gonna approach God. That's the way you're going to look God. All right. So we were talking about in the last two parts, we were talking about that you know, thoughts are very important. Amen. Thoughts we don't put as much attention on thoughts like the way we should. Right. And in reality, when you read the Word of God, when you look at the Word of God, these are God's thoughts in book form. Do you believe that? Amen. Every single thing that you read here is a thought capsule from God for you. And so when you're looking in the mirror of the Word, amen, when you stand in the mirror every day and you look at yourself, you're looking at yourself and you're coming to a conclusion about the person that you see in the mirror, right? I'm too fat. Oh, I got to lose some weight. You know, I don't know what's up. What is this that I got down here? I got these bags under my skin now, under my eyes, and I got to do something about that. You see, we all come to all kinds of conclusions. Amen. But the Christian, amen, when he looks in the Word, he's supposed to see Christ. Right? You're supposed to see. And then when you look in the Word, amen, and you read how it's supposed to be, or how Christ acted, amen, that puts in you, hey, I want to be just like that. Right? In the mirror of the Word. Amen? So, the Word of God transforms our thoughts. Praise the Lord Jesus. The problem is that we don't get in the Word much. That's the problem. We don't get in the Word much in order for the Word to transform the way we think. Amen. Praise God. So we talked about how you know, thoughts relate to words, and words they're highly important. How many believe that words are highly important? Praise God. What you say or don't say, amen, is very important. And a word, we know, Brother Brown told us that a word is a thought expressed or a thought capsule or thought containers. Amen. Praise God. Brother Brown tells us, he says here, you know, Sunday, how we got into it, that when God speaks, it has to be so. There's no way at all to get away from it. God says, let there be, and it has to be. The very Word itself. And the Word was a thought, right? And the Word was a thought. God, when he before, a word is an expression of a thought. That's why when you're talking to somebody and you're like, you know, what? Why'd she say that? Sometimes, you know, people show what they're thinking about what they express through their mouth. Sure. Right. Right? Right? Oh, no, I don't think that way, but why did you say it then? It means it was in your thoughts. Right? Because we don't all just speak just to say things, you know. We don't all just, at least you shouldn't. Right? Just blurt out whatever, you know. Brother Boyd's talking to me about cars, and I start talking to him about helicopters. You know, I'm not, you know, or just whatever, you know, or just some random thing. Amen. But you see, that's not how we're supposed to approach things. Amen. Whatever you're thinking, amen, that's what you're going to express. That's what God's thoughts are. A word is an expression of a thought. God thought in his mind, spoke it into existence. All right. And then here's an example that he gives. We read this. Now, if the blood of bulls and goats could give a power to Moses to go out there by the commission of God and stretch forth that rod and say, let there come flies. He had the word of God and he spoke that word. And when he did it, it became from God's thought. A word is a thought expressed. Right. And so then when God thought it and put it in Moses' mind and he spoke it, it became a word. Right? Because Moses couldn't speak anything unless God put it in his mind first to speak it, right? And I like this part. It says, and Moses turned around and went back, maybe not a fly in the country. And an hour from then, maybe one old green fly began to buzz around. In a half hour, there was 10 pounds per square yard. What was it? The creative word of God. Amen. That was spoke by the lips of a mortal man.
Amen.
And that is the exact same thing that God wants to do with you.
Amen.
He loves it. That's the reason why he loves his word in your lips.
Amen.
Amen. And when you confess his word. Because his word has creative power.
Amen.
You can change the atmosphere with words.
Amen.
By what you say or don't say. You can change an atmosphere with silence, too.
Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes we need to practice that more often, some of us. But words change atmospheres, right? Just as God changes things and creates things when his word goes forth. Amen? You believe that? Praise the Lord Jesus. How many love the Lord? Amen. All right. All right, let me just skip all of this here, and let's continue here. And then we talked about examples of bad thoughts turning into action. You know, Amnon raping his own half-sister, and when you read it in the life of David. How did that happen? Did Amnon just wake up one morning and said, I'm just going to rape my sister? No. It started as a thought. That was produced, and he was just still thinking about it, and we couldn't let go of it until it finally it came to fruition. Uh-huh. You see, that's how Satan came to Eve. The serpent came to Eve, amen, and it was introducing his thoughts to her. He didn't tell her, come on and just let's lay with each other. No, he started introducing thoughts. Right? You know, he started introducing little things. Like how Brother Burley says that he took her to the chat room.
Yeah.
And started just chatting with her, just talking things, you know? Amen. And from there we see the whole thing what happened, right? So it all starts in little chats. That's why young people, we need to be careful. Amen. We need to guard ourselves. Amen. About how we express ourselves with each other online. You know? We just nowadays is different because I've talked with brothers about this. Back then, you know, you wanted to talk to a girl, you either called her or you wrote her,
right?
You wrote her or a letter, or you called if you knew the phone number, and it would not ring a cell phone; it would ring the house phone. That means that mom or dad or a sister or a brother or somebody or grandma in the house might be a possibility to just pick up the phone. And if they had caller ID, they didn't know who it was, but they were going to pick the phone, right?
Yep.
And then you had to say, is Susie there? Who is this? It's John, or whoever. I'm not saying, from school. Oh, okay. All right. And now the father could start maybe. So how did y'all meet? You know, or how do you know my daughter? You know, but nowadays it ain't like that. Young people got phones and they get to chatting on there. It bypasses the father, it bypasses the mother, bypasses the sister, the grandmother. They don't know what's going on. That's why it's your responsibility as parents to watch those things in your house. Because you're young people, your children ain't going to tell you. They ain't, they ain't going to tell you. And so it's up to you to guard things like that. Amen. And of course, Judas selling Jesus out. That was another thought that he had. That started as a thought, and it came into being. We know that that had to happen, but amen. So what is a thought? And then the definition of a thought is a something that is a thought, such as an individual act or a product of thinking. And then it says a developed intention or plan.
That's right.
A developed intention or a plan. Now remember, God's word is God's thoughts, right?
Amen.
That he has an intention or plan with that word.
Amen.
And it's to create.
Amen.
Whether it's a physical, something physical, or whether it's something spiritual in you and me. But it's not going to go void. It's not going to return to him void. It's going to create, and it's going to do exactly what he said his word to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why sometimes, you know, we think that maybe we didn't make an effect on someone when we're talking to someone, or even sometimes as preachers, you know, we're like, man, that people didn't hear nothing, man. They just slept the whole time. But sometimes we just think, we don't know that maybe a year down the road, I remember Brother Luis talking about that. I remember that. And then they put two and two together because somebody else gave the extra element to it. Another preacher or somebody said something. And then there it goes. Amen. So it's hard sometimes, but we got to trust God that God's word doesn't return void.
Amen.
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 God's word will not return void. So the word that your children heard, amen, or the word that your family member heard, and if they're not here, amen, that word won't return void. And you got to believe that. You got to stand on that, because God's word is God's thoughts, and they're creative thoughts. And then when you put those thoughts in your mind, amen, then it'll make you, amen, to be connected with that word. Amen. Praise God. It won't return back void. Praise the Lord Jesus. It's also reasoning power, the power to imagine. Praise the Lord Jesus. And we talked about how reading in the scripture here. Let's go back. Excuse me for just a moment. In Genesis 6:5 says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Can you imagine that? Everywhere that Noah and his family, everywhere where they were at, all around them, all there was people with every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually.
That's right. Amen.
You know, we don't live in a society right now that way, but it's getting that way. Where people just constantly, you know, they're getting to just want to think about continually evil, continue evil, all kinds of evil. I mean, hell is just open up.
Yeah, right,
it's opening up in different kinds of ways, and it's just evil coming at us. You know, the Bible talks about 200 million demons just unleashed upon the bride.
Amen.
And so you better be fortified behind the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. So what Noah, being in this type of situation, and him and his family, the only ones that didn't have evil continually thinking in their heart. That's the reason why God said that Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Can you imagine that? And in this day, God, there's a people that's going to find grace in the eyes of God. Amen. Even in the late hour that we live in. Praise God. Hey, you better just think that's you.
Amen.
That's you. Praise God. When you look at that word there, the imagination of thoughts, it relates back to the word, is the Hebrew word yetzer, which means to fashion or to frame or to form or fashion. It relates to when a potter is building a vase or something. He's fashioning that thing. And that's what the people were thinking about. Fashioning something evil constantly. Fashioning something. Making something evil at all times. Praise God.
Amen.
All right. So there is a little background there, and we mentioned a few of some thoughts from God, amen, that you can cling on, amen. Jeremiah 17:14, amen. It says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praise." You know, I'd rather be quoting that, amen, than quoting some negative thing when I'm sick.
Amen.
You have more of a chance to be healed if you quote that.
Amen.
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 Because God wants you to not just receive the thought and then speak it.
Right.
And when you speak it, it has the same creative effect that it had when it came out of God's mind.
Amen.
Because that's the reason why we're little creators, right?
Amen.
We're little creators, but we're not little creators by ourselves. We're only little creators because we hold on to the word of God through the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 30:17 says, "But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds," declares the Lord. Exodus 23:25, "Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you." Isaiah 53:4-5, "Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we consider him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities." This is a different version, but saying the same thing. "The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed." Praise the Lord Jesus. Those are God's thoughts.
Amen.
Those are God's thoughts for you in your hour of need.
Amen.
Amen. Cling to these thoughts, you know, about wayward loved ones. Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer." Amen. Don't be constant in asking why. Why, Lord? Why me? Why is this happening to us? Amen. Be constant in prayer. Right? Romans 8:28, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good." Some people say, "Well, that's easy for you to say." Well, I'm saying it because the Word of God said it. Amen. And if the Word of God says it, it's got creative power behind it. "For those who are called according to his purpose." Proverbs 14:26, "In the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge." And then Psalm 89:4, "Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations." Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. All right. So now let's start here. And I don't know if I gave this to the brothers or not, but in Psalms 92:5. Psalms 92:5. He says here, David says here, "O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep."
Amen.
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 Praise God. "And thy thoughts are very deep."
Yeah.
Why is David mentioning it like this? He's putting it that like this. Is it that God wants us to have his thoughts that we can't understand?
Nope.
No. God wants us to understand his thoughts.
Yeah.
Well, why do you think he gave us his word if he doesn't want us to understand it? Right? He wants us to understand his word.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. He wants us to receive the benefits of his creative word, his creative thoughts. Amen. Praise God. But the thing is that they are deep. They're very deep, because when you start thinking about just one of God's thoughts, just one of God's verse, it leads you to a rabbit hole. Right? I mean, us as preachers, that happens to us. We start thinking and looking and breaking down just one verse.
Yeah, right.
And it leads us to different avenues and different things. Amen. I'm so thankful for different resources out there that have, different resources that could lead you. Hey, you know, you're reading a verse and then you can read a quote that Brother Branham talked about that verse, or vice versa, you know, just different things like that. But you see, it can lead you, and you can be on one of God's thoughts for hours.
Amen.
And if you really love God, and if you really enjoy hearing about God, and if you really enjoy his word, his thoughts, those hours is just nothing for you.
Amen.
It's like, "Lord, give me more."
Amen.
Praise God. Give me more. So that's what David is saying. Oh, Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah, his thoughts are so deep, and they're wonderful. Praise God to us. And God gave us the ability to think those same exact thoughts. You know, the animal kingdom doesn't have that ability. They don't. We are the only species that have the ability to choose what to think. Right? You can choose what you think. Well, you say, well, the devil made me think about that. No, the devil didn't make you know. The devil presented something before you. You decide if you want to continue eating on that or thinking on that. Right? As they say, you know, the bird may fly over, amen, but he doesn't have to build a nest. Right? You just get the bird out. Right? And the best way to get the bird out, amen, is through God's thoughts. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. You're still with me? Hallelujah. Amen. And so we look at here, and when we look at God's thoughts, amen, you know, with regards to understanding the scriptures, you know, we've read before. We think, oh my, we read those scriptures and we think, it may not change us right away, but you continue chewing on that word, and you continue taking everything out and fully getting everything that you can get out from the word of God. That's what God wants us to do with his word. Not just passively look at it.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, imagine comprehending the thought of the word of Scripture. Amen. The thought of God. Not just now.
Uh-huh. Right.
But not just now. But throughout all eternity.
Right.
Can you imagine that?
Right, brother.
That same thought. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That is an eternal thought that you're going to take with you.
Amen.
Throughout all eternity.
Amen.
The heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. Amen.
Right,
amen. So the more we ponder on his thoughts, amen, the more we start seeing ourselves in them. Amen.
Right.
You start seeing yourselves in those thoughts. Praise God. Psalm 139:17 says, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God."
Right.
Amen. Do you feel that God's thoughts are precious to you? I hope so.
Amen.
How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Amen. You know, Satan may have bombarded you with a certain thought, may have ruined something in your life. But if you just take one of God's thoughts, What took Satan, amen, 10, 20 years to destroy, amen, God can change it overnight.
Amen.
One of God's thoughts can change it overnight.
Amen.
Amen. What took Satan, amen, 30 years to do, amen, God can do it with his word overnight.
Yes, sir, brother.
And we get surprised about it. But we know that it can. The problem is that we don't express and we don't practice, amen, believe, and we don't believe enough. Our unbelief causes us, it leaves us with our mouth open. But you should know better that God can do it. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, we all have different testimonies and different things of how God has changed situations, you know. Praise God. In such unimaginative ways of the way we think about it. But God's ways are his ways. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's read here in verse 5. He says here, casting down imaginations. Imaginations. That means imaginations is not something real. All
right.
It can be or it cannot be. But most of the time, it's not. Most of the time, us, as human beings, we worry about things that probably will not happen. And you know when those thoughts start coming to you more? When you get down to pray. How many have had that? You start thinking about things that you did not even think about from the time that you woke up. Start thinking about the oil change in the car, how it needs to get done. You start thinking about how you need to go here, and then you need to go to the grocery store. And my daughter got piano lesson on Thursday, and that's just Monday. But you're already thinking about the piano lesson on Thursday. And God's like, all right, you know, you were here with me for about 10 seconds, and now you're just diverting yourself. I'm still here. You're diverting yourself. You're thinking about the washing machine, how it needs to get replaced. And you're thinking about, you know, all kinds of things and how you're going to get home, you know, such and such a day. And, you know, you need to pick such and such a person up or whatever it is. Lately, for me, it's been picking people up in the airport and things like that. Going back and forth. And, you know, and you can't. And it's hard for a while because that's when Satan really comes in.
That's right, brother, man.
He wants to block you, amen, from expressing and praying to God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But he says, casting down imaginations. Amen. Casting down. Mm-hmm. Casting down is not just laying them down.
Amen.
I'll lay down that imagination, you know. No, he says, throwing it down. He says, throwing it out. Casting it out. Amen. You don't just lay down the trash. You throw the trash out. Right? You throw it in that bin and you hurry up and close the lid because that thing stinks. Right? You cast it down. That's what Paul's saying here. And every high thing. Watch. And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now, Paul didn't say that God would do this for you. He's telling us to do it. Again, it's working in this man right here. And you can't do it by yourself. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost, amen. We'll read this word and we'll say, yes, Lord, I received that. Let me start putting it into action. God help me. Because that's my desire. My desire fits your desire of your word, your creative word, your thought. And now I want to put it to action. That exalteth itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. To the obedience. What is the word Christ? It means it's the word anointing. Amen. To the obedience of the anointing. Amen. We as Christians, we have an anointing on our life, right? Praise God. If we can just keep our thoughts under that anointing.
Amen.
It's hard to do, but it can be done because Paul says so that we can. Praise God.
Amen.
Now in 1 Timothy chapter 4, going a little bit quicker, verse 11, it says, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth. I'm speaking here to the youth a little bit here. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. All right? He's telling here Timothy, Paul's telling here Timothy, a young man, this is what you should do. Till I come, you give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. And I'm sure he wasn't telling him to read his Pinterest account or to read his Facebook posts or his text messages constantly, right? Or his Facebook Messenger messages that come in, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm sure he's talking about the Word, right?
Amen.
Watch, neglect not the gift that is in thee. I want you to understand, young people, that God has placed gifts in your life.
Amen.
And not just young people, but older ones here as well. Maybe it might not be a gift to minister or do something in the church, but it's for something to help someone else. Right? And that makes you a minister. Because a minister is one that serves. So God has called each and every one of us to serve. Right? Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying of the hands of the presbytery. Verse 15, meditate. Now watch this. Meditate upon these things.
Yep.
Upon what? Upon giving attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. and give thyself half-heartedly to them. Doesn't say that, no. Give thyself wholly to them. Watch, that thy profiting may appear to all. God wants you to profit. God wants you to walk like you're a rich man. I mean, you may not have a dime in your life, amen, but if you got the word of God, amen, you are a rich man. You're a rich woman. You're a rich young man. You're a rich young lady. Praise God. And people will see that. I think about that testimony that Brother Branham gives about the blind man that he prayed for. Amen. And God could have given his sight right there and then when he prayed for the man, but the man just kept going and he kept repeating. I believe he kept saying that I am healed, I am healed, I'm healed. He went to the barber shop and he declared that to everybody. Everybody was seeing that's why he had profited from. Amen. His believing. Amen. And eventually it came to pass. Even though that he was getting negative walls and things were being placed in front of him, eventually it came to pass. Praise God, because he stayed wholeheartedly meditating on those things and giving himself wholly to them. Praise God. Do you think that if you're not constantly looking at something, repeating something, reading something, meditating on something, that you don't become that? Right? Now that is, for example, in the positive. Now how much more in the negative way? Whatever you feed on, whatever you look upon, whatever you think about on, amen, eventually you become that. Because a thought can't just stay spiritual. Right? A thought has to express itself physically. A thought has to manifest itself physically. Praise God. So that's the reason why we all of us, and I'm speaking to our young people, we have to watch what we listen to. We have to watch what we view. Praise God. Because let me tell you, the things of this world, the things you view, the things you listen to, they mold your thinking. To think a certain way and to express yourself in a certain way. Amen? Do you believe that?
Yes.
Amen. I could say that for myself. All right, my testimony, I was an MTV junkie when I came to the United States. My mom and dad, they had cable. Of course, you know, everybody that came to the States back then, you think that you needed to have cable and get in debt.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because that's what, you know, the people in the third world countries think, that here in America, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, you make money. Yeah, you make money. But then you start getting in debt. And, you know, and now that's just part of life.
Yeah.
So we had MTV in the house and I was just feeding on that MTV all day long. Maybe you might not know what MTV is. Music television.
Yeah.
I watched videos and all kinds of things. And whatever I watched, whatever those things, the music that I listened to, amen, I wanted to copy those styles. Amen. If MC Hammer was doing the Running Man on television, you ask my mom and dad. I was there, right there in front of the TV doing the Running Man.
Yeah.
If, you know, naming different artists, you know, if Axl Rose was doing this, you know, I was right there doing that.
Sure.
All right. And eventually, amen, that starts hindering you in your life. Praise God.
Amen.
So the music you listen to and the things you watch, amen, those things will mold you. Music that you listen to or fashions that you follow, amen, they will shape the way you look and feel. Oh, no, I only have those on my Pinterest account. They're only just pins on my Pinterest account. Then why are you copying them? Huh? Praise God. All kinds of different things, you know. Here's the problem. Young people today, And, you know, maybe us, during our time, we do things and we don't think about where those things come from. Or in other words, the spirit behind them. See, we start dressing certain ways, or we start looking or talking or saying things certain ways, and you don't realize that, you know, you don't look at where did that come from? Where is the influence of that from? Because everything has a certain origin. Everything has an origin. It didn't just come out of thin air. It come from someone's thought. And therefore, however you dress, or however you talk, or however you conduct yourself, that is you expressing that person's thought. And in reality, it's not you expressing your own thoughts. It's you expressing somebody else's thought. Now, I get it. You wanna look cool, and you wanna be, you know, in the style or whatever, but. Hey, man, do you want to express your own way, or do you want to express somebody else's thoughts? Because somebody else thought of that first. Let's take a look and see, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Where did that thought come from? Can I take it back to the Word of God? You know, from Genesis to Revelation. You know, that style or that music that I'm listening to, can I see it in the Word of God?
Come on, brother.
Right? Then it'll help you to choose the things that will mold your thoughts in a spiritual way.
Amen,
right?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. And you know, it's whatever you have, you know, and you say, oh, it's just pins, you know, for those who know what Pinterest is, you know, it's just my pins, you know, I'm not going to meditate. I'm not going to act like that. But hey, amen. There's something in you that would desire that. Otherwise you wouldn't have pinned it. Right. Pinned it means like you bookmark it, you know, like you bookmark it. Maybe I can't do that right now, but maybe in the future, you see. That's the thing. Get born again. And you don't have to look like the world. You don't have to be like the world. Praise God. Amen. I ask you this. If Jesus was looking through your Pinterest account, what would he or she think? If Jesus was looking through your Instagram account, what would he or she think? Oh, I'm sorry, he. What would he think? Would you be confident to show Jesus your Pinterest account?
Yeah, go ahead, think about
this. Lord, look, this is what I've been saving, you know. I've been saving all these quotes and these different, you know, or whatever, you know, maybe something else, you know. Or would you be ashamed to show him?
Right.
Would you be ashamed?
Right,
I want you to think about that, young people.
Amen.
Can you freely show somebody here at church what you look at? I'm not saying that it's between you and God. But can you freely say, I can show you what I look at? Or can't, or you can't. You know? The videos that you watch, or even the people that you follow. Would you be ashamed if Brother Dale came to your house and saw the YouTube video on your TV screen? And it wasn't anything godly. Right? More than Brother Dale, Jesus. What would Jesus think? Oh, we'll be hurrying up, changing that station to Evening Night Tabernacle, you know, or Spoken Word Church YouTube channel. Huh? Hurry up. Brother Dale's coming. Right? And I just say, not just this for young people, but also us adults. Hey, we all carry these devices. God knows what you have on your device. That's between you and God. And us as parents, you know, we give freedom to our kids, and they get to a certain age. That's between them and God. Right? But young people, I want you to understand that those things mold your thinking. They mold your thinking.
Yep.
All right. Just real quick. I just want to hit this real quick. I want to talk about pornography for just a moment. Amen. It's become very prevalent. Let me just read you something here real quick. You know, this might have been a taboo subject to talk about 15 years ago. It shouldn't be anymore because it's become a problem. It's become a problem not just for young people, but also for adults as well. And this is just from May. It is estimated that 40 million Americans watch pornography regularly. And that 35% of all internet downloads are related to pornography. While some limit pornography to only movies or videos, we would like to suggest that it also includes books, pictures, stories, and other media, also audios as well, displaying sexual content used to incite arousal. It's not you look at a pornography site, it don't make you want to pray. It's what it's inciting is arousal, to do something that you shouldn't be doing, you know, or to go out and do something that you shouldn't do until you get married. Sexual behavior. In other words, porn has become a widespread phenomenon among young and adult populations as it is accessible through all screens. Through all screens. Although more accepted in today's culture, pornography has led our society to over-sexualization and gender objectification. What does that mean? In other words, men now don't look at women the same way. We look at them as objects, as sex objects, if you engage in pornography. Because that's what the porn world will make you want to think about women, that they're just objects to just be used and disposed of afterwards. Is that God's thoughts? Does God want us to think about the woman in that way? But yet, these sites, that is exactly what they portray for man to think about women in that way. Or even young girls. You know, there was a documentary that I downloaded about 2 years ago. And it brings, you know, this into very, it's very good perspective of it. And it's more now, there's more abuse in pornography now, where like it's just beating the woman and things like that. It's, you know, just she's just trash. And now it's the other way around too. So it's Satan trying to destroy God's image. Right. So that you can get some sort of sexual high. And that is just a perversion. So often creating addictions and dysfunction in real life relationships, marriages and families, the numbers are startling. 47% of families report that pornography is a problem in their homes. 47% of families in America. Teenagers who have frequent exposure to sexual content are twice as likely to experience teen pregnancy. Infidelity increases by 300%. Infidelity means that when a man or a wife or a husband are cheating on each other, it increases by 300% when pornography is used. 68% of divorces involve pornography or obsessive interest in sexual content. You don't think that those things affect your mind, affect your thoughts? Why are these things happening then? Because remember, they have to come to the thinking first, then they do them. And then 58% of sex addicts suffer financial losses because of their addiction. Somebody that's just addicted to that. And you go to some of these websites and they charge for it, and they know that they're going to make money because people are willing to pay for that. You know, back when I was growing up and when Brother Wade was growing up, and some of us, you know, you'd go to, you know, like, the, you know, in Greenville, South Carolina, we had over there called a little town store called the Garden Spot. And you'd go in there, you know, you want to go in there and get a pack of cookies and some milk or a soda or something. But over there in that corner, behind the beads there, or at the movie store, you knew what was behind there. And you didn't go back there. You knew what was there, and it was forbidden. And if the store clerk or whatever, the person in charge, you know, sees you as a little, you know, whippersnapper going in there, he like, son, get down here, get out, come on, I ain't getting in trouble for you tonight. No, I ain't getting the police called for you. But see, nowadays it ain't like that. Because now everybody has the capability of carrying that beaded place, that beaded corner in their pockets, even the church. You have the ability to view any website you want, no matter where you are. So now the Indian tribes down in different places or wherever you go that have cell phones now, they can view it down there. You don't think, oh, you know, God spared me. Oh, I wish I lived up in the mountain and in peace. And they take those cell phones up there and they gain the same issues that you and me get down here in the cities. It's Satan trying to change the way we think. Amen. Look at this. As of March of this year, I was just looking at that. As of March of this year, the top 50 most visited websites in the world, and four of them are adult websites or pornography sites. One of them is in the top 10 in the list, which gets, this is staggering, 3,094,991,895 average visits per month. YouTube.com. How many like to go to YouTube?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, I like going to YouTube. Sure. All right. Well, I mean, we're streaming this on YouTube right now. YouTube gets, which is the second most visited website in the world, gets 35,159,886,057 average visits per month. I mean, that's just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Staggering. I mean, you can't even fathom that. The first most visited site is Google.com, which gets 90,751,889,638 visits per month. Now watch this. BibleHub.com. BibleHub.com, which is a place that I like to go to when I'm studying, only gets 27,718,495 visits per month. Million. The other one's got billion. Now tell me if thoughts are not being changed around the world. Why is society the way it is? Since the advent of the internet, people's thoughts are being changed. People's thoughts are being molded. And they're molded highly. The difference between the visitorship of Google.com and BibleHub.com is a whopping 199.9%. The difference. The difference between the visitorship of YouTube.com and BibleHub.com is 199.7%. And the difference between the visitorship of the adult site that I mentioned and BibleHub.com is an astonishing 197.3%. You think people aren't receiving thoughts through these sites? Amen. They are. You know, imagine if the Bible Hub site was visited the exact same amount that the porn site was. Oh my, that would be a different society. It'd be different. Would you think it'd be different? It'd be different. Amen. Saints, no wonder this world is falling apart. If it was falling apart in Brother Branham's time, how much more now? You know, technology is good. The knowledge, internet is a bite off the tree of knowledge. Amen. That's the reason why Apple has their logo. You notice that their logo is biting off the fruit? I'm just saying. But see, they're still deceived because they think it was an apple. They're still deceived. But can you imagine? Can you imagine if our thoughts, if God, if everybody's thoughts was about the Word of God? Then you see, back in Noah's day, they say that they had technology like we have now. Why was the evil in everybody's hearts continually? It had to spread a certain way. Right? And internet has become that way of spreading things. But at the same time, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, right, is good and evil. It's a two-edged sword. It's a double-edged sword. So it can be used for good. But Satan has turned it, amen, to be able to for bad, and it's hurt more people. Praise God. I'm not taking away your internet or your devices, but God is telling us, amen, you watch how you use these things. Right? Because I believe a Holy Ghost man, amen, can overcome those things. Amen. Let me tell you, young people, you open your mind to just one of those images one day, and it will change you. I know that for a fact. I know that personally. I was introduced to that at 5, 6 years old. And it has been something that you have to, it's a battle. It's a battle that God won't, God can take it away from you right away. But it's you have to overcome. Amen. As Paul was telling us. Right. It's something that you have to overcome yourself. Right. And then if you're not careful, you bring that into marriage life and it becomes a bigger problem. Right. So let us watch what we're being molded with online. Amen. Because and parents, do whatever you need to do. Do whatever you need to do. I know that when they get to a certain age, that's between them and God, right? Right. But while you can control it, do what you need to do. Yeah. Don't just give free rein to the internet and say, "Oh, I know my daughter and my son. They're gonna pick the right things." No, they won't. No, they won't. No, they won't. Yeah. So you have to be, why did Brother Branham say that us, we have to be their Holy Ghost up to a certain age until they get the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so when you get the Holy Ghost, then it gives you power to overcome that tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right? Amen. To keep a balance on it. Amen. Praise God. Our meditations, amen, should be, on His Word, should be day and night. Let's finish with this right here. In Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, that doesn't walk in the influence of the ungodly. Nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But watch, his delight is in YouTube.com all day long. His delight is in Pinterest.com all day long. But how are you going to be blessed? Is if you make your delight in the law of the Lord. And not just for 1 minute, not just for 30 seconds, not just when you go to church, but in His law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, constant meditation. Constant meditation. Sure, sometimes, you know, we watch the news. Sure, we watch the weather. Sure, we watch, but we fall back. That's not our absolute. That's right. Amen. Amen. We fall. We put everything back on the Word. Amen. That's what helps us stabilizes Amen. Us. Right. Amen. That's what anchors us. Amen. Right? And watch. Watch when you do this. And he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water. Amen. Do you think a tree planted by the water is going to be all dead and dry? Nope. Just leaves falling, and every tree that I've seen planted by rivers of water, they've been nice and green and lush. Yeah, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Amen. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Yep. Amen.
I love that.
Amen.
In other words, it's what Jesus said. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Amen. Praise God. So, saints, you know, we are bombarded with all kinds of voices now. Amen. We start talking to somebody and then they just want to start talking negative. Amen. You have the freedom to just close your ears and say, blah, 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 blah. I'm not hearing it. Gossip comes around you. Amen. Let's start talking about fishing.
Amen.
Let's change that subject. You have the power to make those changes. Right? Sometimes we want to affect change and we want to say something positive, and then here comes some negative word coming in. But you have 3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3. What in the world is bothering me? Stay calm. Yeah. Let the word of God. Because sometimes it's better just stay calm. I was telling my daughter last night, you know, sometimes, you know, we just have to let people vent. Just let people vent. After they vent, they're fine after that. Let them say what they need to say. But you can keep your mouth closed. You don't have to respond to the venting, right? You can receive those thoughts, and as they're coming to you, amen, they're just falling right off. I'm not, amen. It's like you got that filter of the word right here, all right, right in your ears, right? Let them say what they need to say, and then you just move on. You don't even have to reply anything back to that, because it'll just keep going. It'll just keep going. It'll just keep going, and it won't stop. Praise the Lord. But amen. But when you're with somebody and you're talking about God's thoughts, amen. I receive those all day long. Give me God's thoughts all day long. Amen. And what it will cause you to talk about his thoughts as well. Praise the Lord Jesus. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Guard your hearts. Guard your minds, young people. Amen. And let me say this. If you have fallen in those things, there's mercy and grace.
Amen.
Amen. There's forgiveness. God forgives. You don't have to be a debtor. You know, sometimes we fall into, and it just doesn't have to be pornography, or doesn't have to be just, you fall into something. Amen. Know that God is ready to forgive you. All he's waiting for you is just to humble yourself and ask him. That's all you got to do. Repent. Repent. And you don't have to stay wallowing in that. Because that is the lie of that is the thought of Satan that wants you to just keep wallowing in that, because he's given you the thought that he won't forgive me for this. I've been doing it too much. That's a lie. That's not God's thoughts. God's thoughts want to forgive you. God's thoughts want to give you grace. God's thoughts wants to give you mercy. But he wants you to ask for it. He wants you to know that you have the need for them. And then he can give them to you. Praise God. How many love the Lord? Amen. Amen. So think on these things. Praise the Lord. As the musicians come, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity to have spoken your word, Lord. Father God, maybe, Lord Jesus, everything was a bit chopped up, but Lord, you can put everything in its place, Lord. Father God, this is your word. I'm only responsible to just speak, Father God, what it says, and you have to do the changing, Lord, of the hearts. So, Lord God, we just pray, Lord, that something was said tonight that would help and benefit your people, Lord. And, Lord, that would help us to draw a step closer to you, Father. We love you, Lord. We love these young people, Father. We love, Lord God, each and every one of them, Father. Even the ones that are probably out, Father God, and they're not serving you, Lord. We love them just as much, Father. We want to see them, Father, back serving you, Lord. But Father God, we know that we can't make the change. It's got to be you to make the change, Lord. Come down, Father God, and be with them, Lord, and just bring them, Father God, back, Lord. We know that, Father, that Satan may have ruined their image, but Father God, you can change things overnight, Lord God. Everything will be different, Lord God, when you do the work. We love you, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to serve you in this hour. We pray these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's sing something tonight.
All in Him is He. It's all in Him.
Amen.
A flat. The mighty God is Jesus. The Prince of Peace is He. The everlasting Father, the King eternally. The wonderful in wisdom, by whom all things are made. The fullness of the Godhead, in Jesus is His name. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God of Godhead is all in Him. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. Emmanuel, God with us, Jehovah, Lord of hosts, the omnipresent Spirit who fills the universe. The Advocate, the High Priest, the Lamb for sinners slain, the Author of redemption, oh glory to His name. It's all in Him, it's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead is all in Him. It's all in Him, it's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the living Word incarnate, the helpless sinner's friend, the wisdom and perfection, the righteousness and power, and all we need of Jesus, we find His very hour. It's all in Him.
It's all in Him.
It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead is all. It's all in Him.
And it can be in you
it's
tonight. Not just in
the
Him.
Mighty God is Jesus, and it's all.
Sing it one more time here.
Our God for whom we waited will be our glad refrain. Of Israel recreated when Jesus comes again. Lord, He will come and save us, our King and priest to be. For in Him dwells all fullness, and Lord of all is He. It's all in Him. It's all in Him. The fullness of the Godhead. It's all in Him.
It's all in Him.
It's all in Him. The mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him.
Praise the Lord Jesus. We believe that all of that can be in you. Praise God. I mean, it might be just a portion, but it's that whole powerful portion. Praise the Lord. Amen. Saints, we pray that, we ask that you all pray for us this weekend. We're going to be out to Beaufort, South Carolina, ministering there. I have to interpret there at the minister's meeting on Saturday and then preach for Brother Samuel Najera there at the Spanish church in Beaufort on Sunday. So just remember us in your prayers. That God would just have His way. Amen. So, Brother Wade, I think he has something to say. So, God bless you all.
I was just talking to a minister not too long ago, and he said the most counseling he's ever given in the past year is because someone hooked on pornography. In his congregation, Message Church. Message Church. The most he's ever counseled in the past year. Just that one item. It'll ruin you.
Right.
It will absolutely ruin your thought, ruin your mind, Don't do it. Don't do it. And you can get, that's more accessible than this water.
That's right. Sure we're in.
More accessible than this water right here.
Right.
So thank God. We need to be shook every once in a while. Watch your kids. Be their Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That may mean being a little rough.
That's right.
Holy Ghost is rough on us every once in a while, isn't he? Yeah. Amen? So be rough. Don't let them do that. You say, well, my kid won't do that. Well, yeah.
Come on.
How many things did we get by with? Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Prayer service at 7 o'clock Sunday from 7, I mean Saturday from 7 to whenever. Remember, Brother Luis, he's going to have to interpret at a minister's meeting and then preach. So he's going to have a job Saturday afternoon. We were going to try to go, but we're not going to be able to go because of the prayer service. Also, Brother Keith Reed's wife and his two daughters are going to be here Saturday through the next Saturday. So they'll be here in service with us, and they'll be around so that we can fellowship with them. So they'll all three be here. They'll be staying at my house. So if anybody wants to contribute to the food program that we have going, that the kids are going to eat us out of house and home. So anyway, also remember the 11th is a shower. After the second service, we'll have cake and punch. And we will have a place for you to give them these cards. All right? And you've got a list of them there. And please RSVP pretty quick because the wedding's only 2 months away.
Right.
That's November the 6th, I think it is. That's 2 weeks, 2 months away as of yesterday. So RSVP if you're coming. All right. Also remember that on the 17th, Brother Ronnie Long will be here. We'll talk about this Sunday when we come to church. We'll have a little meeting Sunday, maybe afternoon, about what we're going to do for Saturday. That'll be our last youth meeting for the year. We won't have another one probably until March. But we're looking for have a good time. We'll get it out and everybody let people know. And Brother Luis is going to let the brothers and sisters know it in Beaufort that we're having the meeting. So just keep that in your prayers. And my heart monitor's off, and they told me today that I only had like one little ticking little episode or something. So there is record. I have a heart.
Amen.
It's beating.
Amen.
And it's not cold.
Amen.
It's warm. Okay? The doctor said. But I do have to go to the neurologist. I'm going to have an MRI. I've been having some issues with my tingling in my head and my arms. So just pray for that everything will be fine. But other than that, my heart's okay. Yeah, I appreciate your prayers. So all mine's clear.
Lift me up.
Okay. We're all going through something. Everybody's going through something, so let's just pray for everybody that's going through something.
Remember me early midnight Sunday. I'll be preaching.
Oh, that's right.
Brothers in India again.
Well, this
will be the first time.
So remember Brother Aaron, he's going to be preaching. They've hooked up a Zoom meeting. Brother Luis has already done it one time or twice? One time. The brothers in India are what? How many hours?
9.5 hours.
9.5 hours ahead, so they're... they're going to have to get up at midnight and preach. So Brother Luis had to get up at midnight and do a Zoom meeting like we do downstairs. And now Brother Aaron's going to do that and preach to them. Actually preach to the people. And they're going to be able to see him and he's going to be able to see them. So it's just like almost a virtual service there in the home. So it'll be at midnight. So just remember him Sunday night. So all mine's clear. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day that you give us. We pray now that, Lord, you would help us to bind together, Lord. To not let these evil spirits, Lord, come among us. Let us, Lord, have our minds centered on you. The renewing of our mind, as our brother said, it's got to come from that second realm, Lord. And that's what we're going to be talking about Sunday. Our renewing of our mind is these virtues that we're going to start talking about, Lord. And that's where it comes from. And, Father, I pray that all of us, Lord, all of us around the whole spoken word church family realizes that the most important thing is to be born again and then grow in grace and knowledge. Get into the body and then grow, Father. I pray that you'd be with us now. Take care of the ones on the highways. Be with the ones that are sick. Ones that are not with us tonight, Lord, we pray that you'd bring them back together. On Saturday night, Lord, we're going to have a prayer meeting here. Lord, we're going to be able to talk to you. And Lord, I pray that you'd just be with us in the service Sunday and just take care of Brother Ronnie. Be with him the next week. and just be with each one, Lord, around the world. Father of the bride, Lord, we're crying for you to come and get us. Even come, Lord Jesus, quickly. Father, just bless us now and take care of us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Emmanuel, God with us, Jehovah, Lord of hosts.